Give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the home advisor. Home Advisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that Home Advisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
Home Advisor.
A special committee's begun to work to avert another shutdown. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
There are 17 members from the House and the Senate on the committee that's looking to craft a long-term budget extension to avert another shutdown on February 15th. Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn's on the panel.
Nobody wants the government shut down. What we want is for the Democrats to negotiate and come to a resolution on this.
President Trump tweeting on Wednesday morning as the committee was sitting down for its first meeting that they'll be wasting their time if they're not seriously considering money for a wall or physical barrier at the border.
Arizona is looking to be the ninth state to allow sports betting after a Republican state senator introduced a bill that outlines what legal sports betting would look like in Arizona. The bill would allow any federally recognized tribe that has a state gaming compact to operate sports gambling. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
California Democratic Senator Kamala Harris, who is seeking the Democratic presidential nomination, veered away from one of President Trump's famous lines, which is, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, when she said on Monday that private health insurance is inhumane and proposed a government-run alternative. Dr. Mark Siegel is a practicing internist and Fox News medical contributor. He explains what Medicare for All really is.
Medicare for All is not expanding Medicare. It's putting a wrecking ball to private insurance and revamping everything and putting a new product in place that the government runs. And I have to firmly disagree with the idea that Senator Kamala Harris is saying there that it means instant access. I can tell you, working with both private and public insurance in my office, with Medicare, with Medicaid, sometimes with private, there's no such thing as access based on public health insurance. The government doesn't provide access. The government is a bureaucracy. I have to appeal, Bill, to the government sometimes, and I get on the phone. A distant bureaucrat is approving or disapproving of some procedure I think a patient needs. That's going to get worse here if we had Medicare for All. So there's a huge bureaucracy that will come along down the pike. You'll get rid of the employer-based health care system, which is a job incentive. So it's a job killer. It's giving an entitlement to people who maybe wanted to take a job because it gave them health insurance.
You can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. And for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And good afternoon and welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. I want to call this the studio. You know, do either one of you watch, what's his name? The guy that's on Bravo, Andy Cohen?
No.
I met Andy Cohen once years ago at a function, and he was a lot of fun, actually. But he has that thing called the clubhouse, and I feel like I want to have my own club, my Flemington version of the clubhouse. Well, I'm very happy to have in studio a couple that's been with me. Again, they were here last year, maybe about this time of year, I'm not sure. But they have a big move and so much going on in their business. And they are Ken and Susie Nurker, and their company is, I'm going to see if I can get this right without looking, Ye Old What? Antique and Curiosity Shop.
Correct.
All right. But no, PPE is a shop.
Right.
And they're in Flemington, New Jersey. Welcome to my program.
Thank you.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your company and where you're located? Because you just did a very big move. Still in Flemington, but a much bigger space and then like two stores. So tell us a little bit about it. I'll start with you, Ken.
Sure. We moved from a small and modest shop, which was at 20 Main Street, across from the post office. We've closed that shop now, and we are now in the Flemington Decorating and Fabric Shop.
Right, which was there for years. It was a pink building, and if people go past it, they'll notice it's sort of a yellow color now. It's not pink anymore.
That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. The landlord decided to change up the color.
Okay.
And
you know, I might have been the impetus of that, because I was working with her for a little bit, trying to get her to do better when she was struggling a little bit. And I said, you got to get rid of the pink. You got to show people that there's change involved. She goes, I'm not giving up my pink. And then I went past it, and I saw that it was a shade of yellowish. And I said, oh, she finally did something. And I said, no, they did something. So, anyway, so you've been, how long have you been in Flemington? And then, Ken, if you could speak a little closer to the microphone, I think.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Is that a little bit better?
Much better. Okay. So how long have you guys been in Flemington?
We're going on 3 years now.
Okay.
And aside from the shop at the Flemington Fabric and Decorating Center, which is at 139 Main Street, just down the block across from the beer garden, otherwise known as the filling station.
Yeah, that's its own weird thing. Okay, I'll talk about that another time. Yeah. Okay.
We also rented the place directly next to that. So we have a building and a half filled with antiques.
Would I venture about how much square footage you have? Because it's a tremendous amount of space. And it's full.
Yeah, so we went from 450 square feet at the old shop to 1,580 feet at Flemington Fabric Building, 139 Main. And the place right next door, which is the old vape shop that we took over, that place is 1,250 square feet.
Wow. Well, we have a wonderful show in store for you today. We're actually going to bring, they were very generous to carry in the cold, a bunch of antiques. I'm going to talk about antiques. And if you follow me on social media and you follow my blog, The Color Guru, this week's installment was called Where Do Antiques Fit In a Modern World? So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about the changing times. We're going to talk about people downsizing and wanting to get rid of their stuff, and does it even have any value anymore, and who's buying it, and all about antiques, because I think it's become its own new sort of thing, and it's quite different, right? So we have to handle how we use antiques wisely and to do things with it. So let's talk a little bit about today's weather, which is part of my shtick here on the program. So let's go to the weather today and see what's happening, because we all know something not good is coming. So let's take a look at that. Oh, I'm getting the band. So I get the colorful band, Ken. That means that we're going to have some weather. Okay. It's, oh, look at the red. Okay. So it says now multiple hazards in effect. And this afternoon, snow showers again likely. Then patchy blowing snow, 29 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, then a low of one.
Oh.
One's a record.
That's cold.
Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high of only 14 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of three. Well, that's warmer than one. Friday, partly sunny, then chance of snow, 20% chance, high of 23. Friday night, slight chance of snow, then partly cloudy with a low of 13. On Saturday, it's going to be a mostly sunny day and a lot warmer, 35 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy. And let's see if it takes me any further. Nope, that's where they left it off. So it looks like we're going to have a couple of cold days. We're going to take a couple of station announcements to pay for our program, and then we'll have the Nurkers back with us, and we're going to talk about antiques in a modern world.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Christopher Scuderi. My company is Maven Hill Interior Designs. I'm in my 22nd year. I have a local location right here in the Flemington area. It's actually Ringo's, but if you put your foot on the left side of the street, you're actually in Flemington. It's a Flemington area. And that is within Flemington Fan and Lighting. I have 1,000 square feet of beautiful new accessories and artwork and things that you can look at. Also, a library of the best new wall coverings, which are back in style, by the way, fabrics, anything you need for your home, hardwood floors, rugs. We do renovations all over the tri-state area. This year I was in Design New Jersey magazine with two of my big projects this year, and a lot of new stuff. We're shooting a lot of stuff for the television program, but also for some magazines coming up, which is kind of exciting. My guests today happen to be Ken and Susie Nurker, and their company is called, oh my God, I got to go slow. It's a long name. Okay. Ye Old Antique and Curiosity Shop.
That's right.
Okay, very good. My ginkgo kicked in. So our topic today is antiques in a modern world. So we're going to talk a lot about antiques and how they fit in a world, because some people are not even sure what to do with. I think, and I don't know if you guys feel this as well, and from where you started, I started my career 22 years ago, and 22 years ago, things were lavish. We were in better days. There was a lot of new money around when it came to the internet and technology and people changing the way they do things and new infrastructures, and people were spending money. So for me, there was a request from people for finer things and for older things and for antiques and stability to give the look of wealth. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say after, not the day after October of 2008, things began slowly to change. And then over time, I saw a shift to more minimalization, and some of that is because people lost their money, right, and they had to get rid of their things. But for other people, times changed. So let's fast forward to 2019. I feel that there's such a drastic style change that people are getting rid of stuff just in general. I'm not talking about antiques, but the trend towards streamlined is here, even in rural Hunterdon County. Is that true to some degree for the two of you?
Yeah.
Yes and no. The people that we see are looking for antiques. So.
Sure. or also maybe looking to sell antiques. So that's the first part of my sort of reinvention. I think to be successful in life, I read a quote from a woman once who was in her late 90s, and someone said, what's the secret to your success? And she says, the secret in life to be successful is you have to be like a big tree, a big oak tree. And they said, what does that mean? That means that you're able to bend in the wind. You have to adjust to the changing times. So for me, I had to get used to not doing expensive window treatments that were, you know, I handed a lady a bill for $14,000 for window treatments in this beautiful estate home in Bedminster, and that was okay back then. It's not going to fly anymore. People are just, the lines are simpler, the shapes are simpler, and I think people are more willing to accept less expensive objects or objects that don't have the same value because times are just different. People look at things differently. Not the world, but on the whole, I think that's the trend we're on. Mm-hmm. The other trend that I see happening, and one of the reasons that I have had to reinvent myself, is that people are changing the way they live, so they're downsizing. A lot of my work is downsizing. So it's people in the middle or a little bit older than the middle that are looking to go smaller or out of state because New Jersey is an expensive place to live in. So one of the first issues I have is, where do I take my stuff? And one of the things that you guys do and do successfully, as I remember, Ken, I think last year you had just done an estate sale in Connecticut. So you go a little bit out the of the state lines that you guys do estate sales. So I'm gonna turn that over to you because so many of my clientele are those people that are downsizing. They have wonderful things. But here's what I hear 100% of the time, which I never say 100% of the time, and that is what? My kids don't want my stuff. Yes, I hear that 100% of the time. And there are people that have beautiful things. And sometimes I equate that in a sense terrible to immaturity because there's probably even some monetary value to those things. But things are, you know, things are in style and they're out of style. Places are chic and then they're not chic. And that circle of life, as long as life keeps on going, is going to continue to happen. So my thing is, hold on to those things because a new generation of people will appreciate that, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
That's our hope. I often
am asked, I'm downsizing, what do I do with my things? So let's talk about that part of your business. Is that something that's grown? What are you seeing with people? When are people calling you? And who's the profile calling you when they're ready to sell their things and they want you to actually come to the house? Tell me how you work with estate sales.
Sure. So originally, back in the old day, estate sales connotated somebody that had died.
Died, right, yes.
And the estate of the family was calling you.
Literally the estate, that's
the
why.
Estate. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And today, estate sale for probably more than 50, probably more like 60% of the clientele that we service, I would say that they're moving to a smaller home, perhaps down in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, you know, the whole
sure.
routine. And they need to unload what their children don't want.
Which is all of it.
Which is all of it. And everything but the kitchen sink.
Sure, exactly.
And oftentimes we sell even the kitchen sink.
So would you say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, or maybe I do, but would you say that the estate sale part of your business has grown for just that reason? Because in my generation, I would say collectively our generation here, we wanted, if our parents had good stuff, we wanted that. We wanted, you know, our maybe mom's dining room table. We're going to put our own new modern chairs with it. Or maybe the sideboard, okay? Your sister got the table, but you wanted the sideboard,
sure,
which is gorgeous, and you mix and match because it was a piece that was of quality, that had carving, that mm-hmm. had age to it, that had value. But that, you
and
know.
And sentimental value.
Yeah, yeah. Not for everybody, though, but yeah, I would say sentimental value. But also just was something that was desirable because it was a fine piece of furniture. One of the people that's going to be a future guest, both here on Modern Design on Flemington and then my television show, Designed for the Times down in Princeton, is Gasors. They're a family that have wonderful sure. fine furniture, and we're going to talk about the quality of fine furniture and who's buying that, and how have they had to adjust their marketing and their style to make that continuation work. So I think right now that is a struggle. And the same thing with beautiful antiques, the dollars that you get for them, who's looking for them, and the value of them, which I find very sad, and I hope we come back to that. Even in my end of the business, one of the things that I do a good amount of the time is I'm very good with color, and I do color consultation. Maven Hill Designs, we've always had on the website a coupon for $199. I'll come out and spend 1 to 2 hours with you and pick all your paint colors, which can be transformative. But over time, most paint colors have gone away, and we're seeing a new trend where people are painting from room to room the same color, and they're doing soft, subtle shades of gray. So you're seeing a super white semi-gloss trim. We're seeing ceiling white in a flat ceiling paint, and we're just seeing shades of gray or grayish from room to room. So there isn't that much variety. And mm-hmm. I see that happening with antiques, with furniture, just a simplistic, sometimes I say dumbed down, but that's a little cruel, way of living, a simple or way of living. So let's talk about the first part of this, and then when we go to our break, we'll talk about then, of course, what you sell and all the goodies that I'm seeing here. Let's talk about that process then. So somebody comes to you, they're moving, and they say they want to get rid of their stuff. Do you take their stuff to your shop, or do you do it out of their house? How do you work?
Well, first of all, we'll go and meet them at their house and see if there's enough to do an estate sale.
Okay.
So if there's not, we say, you know, there's not enough, because our whole goal is for them to make money and get rid of stuff, and also for us to make money. So if it's not a win for them and a win for us, it's not a good solution. So if we decide to do an estate sale, we consult with them and see what they have, if they're selling everything or what they're selling. And also, if not, then we will offer to buy anything that we feel we'll be able to resell. Because our whole goal is to pass along the antiques to a new generation and find a new treasure for somebody so that it's not thrown away.
You know, do you also feel on a personal level that you want to see those antiques circulate and go on?
Absolutely.
One of the people that I've had a guest on my show is a lovely lady that owns the place that has a lot of the antiques as well here.
Lady-like.
Maxine has been a guest on the show, and she has such beautiful plates and things.
Right.
And her hope is that sometimes when people come into her to have stuff, she had a lady and her daughter, and she had something that was so valuable. And Maxine said, I don't want to take this. You're going to want this one day. And she said, I don't want it. Do you know what Maxine did? She didn't put it out. She took it and put it in a drawer. She says, one day this lady's going to want
come back,
this.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel that way? Do you have a sentimental attachment to things?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of sad because we have people come in I mean, at least once, twice a day trying to sell us stuff. And, you know, I make sure, first of all, that they want to sell it and that you're sure nobody in your family wants it, any of your kids. And they say, no, not any of, for most of the time, right? They say, hey, all right, we checked with our kids. They took what they wanted. They don't want anything. We're moving, and we don't want to throw it out. We don't want to put it at the curb. We want to make sure that somebody gets it that will appreciate it. So for the most part, you know, that's it. But and if I don't want it, we send them to Maxine's because we don't necessarily buy what she buys. And, you know, there's something we have a little bit of everything in our store. So
I'm going to have to stop at one at this point because I know ears are perking up when you said estate sale.
Yeah.
A phone number for them to reach you to maybe come out. Will you guys come out and speak with somebody and come out to their home and see what they have?
That's absolutely required.
Was the best way to reach you in this case your phone?
Yes.
And if you could give the phone number.
It's 908-227-6641 or 908-310-1995. And that's our cell phone numbers, and we always have them, and it's a free consultation.
Wonderful.
We come out to the house and meet with you, and we're local citizens, residents of Hunterdon County.
Right.
And so, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
Do you find that antique shops, in a way, are disappearing? Because I've noticed some of my haunts, because I love antiques.
Yeah.
There was one down in Hopewell.
Right.
Loved that place right there for a long time. I should have bought more. That's why they're is gone.
Yeah.
Do you find that they're leaving us some of the antique shops?
Yeah, we have people come in all the time and say, "Oh my God, we love your shop. There's not a lot of these left."
Yeah.
And we have people that come and say, "I haven't been to Flemington in years. When we used to come, there used to be an antique center. There used to be all these antique shops, and they really miss it." So
we're bringing it back.
We're trying. It's fun to touch and look and buy from an actual store and hold it and touch it instead of, you know, on eBay or ordering it that way.
Absolutely. You know, I noticed for a while in the Somerville area, which is, there's a town that's really done it right. Lots of restaurants, lots of reasons to go.
Absolutely.
And they've reinvented themselves. There's new housing and people want to live in that environment. It's a train town, so they're doing a good job. But before it had its renaissance, there were streets of antique places. Mm-hmm. I see most of them have gone out. Now, I don't know if they've gone out because the city's doing well, so the rents got too much, or the need wasn't there. It was shop after shop of antiques.
I think your first inclination was correct.
Uh-huh.
This afternoon, we're actually heading up to Nyack, New York, to consult on a very huge estate sale.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, back in the 80s, when Susie and I first met, we would go to Nyack, and there was 25 antique shops there.
It's beautiful, right? Nyack on the Hudson?
Nyack, yeah. Right on the Hudson.
Beautiful.
They had a street fair. They would close down the entire street, and antique dealers from all over the country would come and display their wares. Today, there's only two antique shops.
Sad.
And combined, they're only a third of our one shop. So it's amazing. What happened there was the rents went up.
Yeah.
Rents went up. The antique shops couldn't afford it. So Flemington's a good place for us right now.
Yeah.
Because the rents are modest and we can, you know, make enough to keep the lights on and hopefully buy a few meals in between.
Exactly. I always say I have this bad habit. I work because I like to eat.
And we, you know, our job we really feel is to be stewards
of
these priceless antiques.
That have a history, right?
That has a history.
People are going to remember, maybe it's the next generation after this generation, that things that tell a story are important as part of a big picture.
Sure.
Now, I always say design is a sense of balance because let's say you like the color red. Well, red is, you can use sparingly, it could work. But if the whole thing is red, where are you? That's what design is. It's a sense of balance. It's a sense of modern and traditional and history and beauty and then simplicity, and that's what it's all about.
And old and new. You can mix so much old stuff with new stuff. And listen, they're reproducing some of the old antiques, and people are coming in for old windows because they're repurposing old windows. And they see it on TV or in magazines, and they come in for that, and they'd rather buy something old with history than go and buy a brand new one.
Absolutely, and I love when I see that. We're going to take a couple quick commercial messages and lots more today on our program. If you'd like to call into the show, the phone lines are open. Tell us about your experiences with antiques, what you've done, what you've kept, or maybe you have a question for Ken and Susie. They're really the experts on estate sales, and that's such a hot button for so many people. We'll take a couple of commercial messages, and we'll be back with more of our program.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. My company is Maven Hill Interior Designs. I've been in the business for 22 years. Everything related to your home, from simple painting or paint color consultations to kitchens and bathrooms and everything in between, whether it be your home or commercial space right now. And by April, I'm doing a restaurant. We're gutting a restaurant and putting a restaurant and bar in a New Providence. It's going to be called Harley's Tap and Grill. So I'll tell you more about that. We'll have a grand opening party and you'll be invited. A lot of things going on in terms of design and projects this year. My guest in studio in my clubhouse here in Flemington, New Jersey are Ken and Susie Nurker. Their company is Ye Olde Antique and Curiosity Shop, and they're right on Main Street. A couple doors down, they're my neighbors, right here in Flemington on the same side of the street. Our topic today is antiques in a modern world, how they fit in, how people are living today. So if you're just tuning to the broadcast right now, or you're watching us out in your home on Facebook, call in, say hi, let us know. If you want to just do it on the computer, that's terrific. Talking about estate sales, and one of the things, would you say that's the biggest part of your business now? Is it the estate sale part of the business?
50-50. Well, yeah, it's 50-50. It's not the biggest. It's where we make the most amount of money.
Sure. Well, I'd say that's the biggest. Okay. But having said that, what's your range? Is it the tri-state area? Will you go out beyond that to do an estate sale?
Right now, tri-state area, yeah. The five boroughs of New York, Connecticut, and PA.
What is your with these estate sales, is it word of mouth? Do you do advertising? How does that happen to somebody? Do your neighbors have an estate sale and 5 years later they said, oh, yeah, we're going to use those guys that came where we bought that, you know, depression glass, you know, butter server or whatever it was?
A lot of it is referral.
Right.
From, you know, previous business that we've done, people that were happy with the results.
Sure.
Or people that actually come to the estate sales and they grab a card.
Because they bought something from you. And they want the pen you have on or something like that. And they said, oh, those people, I have to grab one of their cards.
Right. And they like the way that we held the estate sale and how it was set up. So they'll grab a card and they say, you know, we'll be calling you because a year or two, we'll be ready to do one ourselves.
Tell me what the process is. I would imagine it's a weekend. Is it usually 2 days or mm-hmm. hours? How does it kind of work? What's the sort of structure?
It's usually 2 days.
Okay.
Usually a Friday and a Saturday if mm-hmm. there are a lot of antiquities that are involved
mm-hmm.
because dealers primarily like to come on a Friday. Mm-hmm. That's what we historically see.
Sure.
And then the general public on Saturday.
Right.
Well, we don't have a lot of antiques, however, Richard. What we do is we do it on a Saturday and a Sunday.
Mm.
So it depends on the actual house.
So you have to sort of size up how mm-hmm. it works.
That's right. Now, we're doing a sale coming up at the middle of April,
mm-hmm.
April 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's going to be a 3-day sale,
uh-huh.
and it's possible that it'll be held on more than one weekend. There's 15 automobiles that are part of that sale.
Wow.
There's an entire blacksmith shop. There is the gentleman that and it's an estate of somebody that is has deceased,
right. mm-hmm.
And his children have decided that they want to have a sale rather than an auction because they know that they will have greater results with the estate sale.
You know, I want to ask you about auctions because I remember a long time ago my mother was in, I think they were in Nevada, and she was bidding on a watch or something, and it got out of control, and she wound up buying this very expensive watch. They let her return the watch. I think people are a little cautious when it comes to auctions for things, not property, but for things. I'd much rather be at a sale than an auction. Do you think the general public feels that way about things?
I personally love to go to auctions.
Okay.
Why?
Well, you're a dealer.
I'm a dealer, and I know that I can get great deals there. When we do an estate sale, let there be no mistake about it. Our number one obligation is to our client and to derive the greatest profitability possible for them,
right.
for their heirlooms.
Sure.
Oftentimes, it's all that they have in the inheritance. And sometimes, like the estate sale we're doing down in Ewing, New Jersey, in just 2.5 weeks, they have to use the money derived from the estate sale to pay past taxes and
sure,
bills.
To sell the estate.
That's mm-hmm. correct. So the mother was who passed away was in arrears.
Mm.
So it's different with everybody. But so getting back, I love going to auctions, but to derive money for the actual estate, the best way, in our opinion, is because we do estate sales, they're going to get more money, more profitability.
So, Ken, do you now you have a website, which I'm remiss to. Why don't you tell us what the website is?
Sure. It's www.yeolde and Curiosity Shop. But the and symbol is gone, so it's Antiques Curiosity Shop.
Okay, wonderful.
So we delete the ampersand sign. And that's the website.
Do you post the addresses or the upcoming sale so people know where to go? Because I know that's a question I will get after this broadcast.
Yes.
People say, oh, I listened to your broadcast. We'd love to go to maybe they're going to do that one in April. Where is it? And so on. So do you post them in advance so people can say?
We post the actual address, the physical house, home address, and town the day before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to watch the website all the time.
That's correct. But we do post photos and a link to our estatesales.net and our estatesales.org websites that have been set up specifically for each and every sale that we're doing.
Oh, wonderful. So you can have a little heads up. You have the address. You can go ahead of time.
Absolutely. You'll know it's going to be in Ewing. Mm-hmm. You can plan your day.
But we don't put the address for security reasons, because
exactly.
most of the time someone's either not living there.
Sure.
Or
maybe they are. You just don't want to be a target
exactly.
for anything.
Correct.
There's a sense
exactly.
of balance
right.
with that. So let's talk about something that you had said, Susie, and that was about when you sort of case the house to if there's enough, but also what things are saleable. These days, and I wonder even just from last year, what are people looking for? What are the things that are looking for? One of the things that last time that Maxine Stadell said was she found that for her it was teacups, that tea parties were in for the younger generations if they were mm-hmm. doing a shower and the whole ladies thing. And I know one of the businesses that's thriving in Flemington is the Tea House here on the end. And
yeah.
it's done
wonderful
through,
venue.
Right. Yeah, and done through bad economic times where it was doing very well.
Right.
So the tea is very back in, and that's what mm-hmm. worked for her was teacups, and people were buying, younger people were coming in buying lots of unmatched teacups, and that was a thing that was easier for her to sell than maybe some fine crystal and so on.
Right.
For you guys, what are the things that are good sellers in general?
Well, the young kids seem to be still buying records.
Records,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Vinyl.
Vinyl, vinyl, yeah.
Right.
So, but
of what generation or of what period? The 70s, the 60s?
Oh, the rock and roll.
Okay. 60s, 70s, 60s, 80s, yeah. And 90s.
Okay.
So they like that raw sound, and I know they're making records today. They're reproducing the old records. They're reintroducing them, but we have the original ones. They like the sound of it. So.
Now, this is very naive on my part, but I do remember that we did have the stereo ugly thing that was in the middle of the room.
We have those, too.
High five. But I don't have a record player, so if someone would give me a record of, and I exclusively love old music. When I'm in my car, it's 60s on 6 or 70s on 7, and that's it. So if someone would give me a novelty gift of a record of something that I really liked, how would I even play it? How do you play a record if you
got to tell them to get the record player from us first.
Do you carry record players?
We do. But if you don't want an old record player, they do reproduce. We actually have one in our store that we use, a Crosley that's reproduced. It's just like in a little, it almost looks like a piece of luggage.
Sure.
And they sell them at like TJ Maxx or Marshall's for like,
kidding me.
No, yeah, for like $50. And they have a good sound. But if you really are into it, you do have an old record player that actually the good ones are worth some money now, right?
If you're an audiophile,
I remember that in good memories, because I guess I'm an antique too, right? There's a thing now about antiques is that, and this is very depressing, is that they used to say that an antique was something that was, or it was thought that an antique was something that was 100 years old.
That's
more.
Correct. That's
and
still
then,
true.
Well, and then with the whole mid-century modern thing going from being your parents' goofy stuff to desirable by the millennials,
right.
Then they said it's 50 years. So what is the definition of an antique? It's something that's 50 years old, right?
It's a collectible, right?
We call that vintage. We're very true to our roots because we have true antiques.
Sure.
True antiques are 100 years plus.
That's what I learned in school.
In America.
Okay.
If you're in Europe, an antiquity is that's anything like over 2,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it depends on where you
are. We're pretty new country guys, so, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
But having said that, where has it come in? And I've heard from many people, including Maxine, that people are often saying that things that are 50 years or older, because I guess of the whole thing about mid-century and how that's cool again.
And there's less antiques today, really, you know, shops. So
right.
People try to put a lot of stuff into their shop from different periods and different genres.
So you're saying basically that's crap. It's not really an antique. It's 50, it's your parents or your grandparents' 50 stuff.
That's right.
So, all right. So we talked a little bit about that. What else is a big seller for you guys or people that come in or request that you see on a consistent basis? I think Maxine said sometimes vintage jewelry and for her, it was 1970s, not like 20s, 1970s vintage jewelry. So it's always good to know.
She's 100% correct.
How about you guys?
Same.
50s, 60s, 70s for jewelry.
And clothes. A lot of people come in asking for vintage clothes.
Do you carry clothes that I wasn't sure?
We do.
Sure. Okay.
In fact, I just about yesterday, some lady called me and said, I'm moving and I've been holding on to this vintage clothes that were mine from the 50s and 60s, and I just don't want to throw them in a used clothes bin.
Sure.
So do you buy them? So she brought a bunch over, and they're gorgeous, and vintage ties, and vintage men's suits, and some really vintage hats, and vintage pocketbooks. So some really cool things. I mean, the best
big market.
Like, I have people come in looking for that special little handbag for a wedding that nobody else will have. So yeah, so we sell a lot of that.
What about hats?
Hats, fedoras, you name it, we've got it.
Ken, what about for men? Anything specifically for men that they're looking for? I remember growing up, I had a beautiful carved wood box that was sort of just like where you'd put your tie clips and all that kind of stuff. I just remember thinking, what sort of men's haberdashery, are they in the men's stuff? Maybe stuff for pipes or anything like that?
Well, it's I would definitely say for men, watches.
Oh, yeah.
Old watches. And they don't have to work.
Okay.
Today, we're all using the cell phone.
Yeah.
And we're using the cell phone.
Watch.
That's right. There's your watch. But the old-fashioned watch,
right.
Even if it doesn't work, is a piece of jewelry.
Antique watches were beautiful. Men's watch, women's too, but men's watches were just beautiful.
They were works of art.
Yeah,
And also anything related to cars and gasoline related.
Cars, Petrolina, which is gasoline related. My gosh, there's a lot of things that men love and gravitate towards. But Susie, you nailed it with the oil related paraphernalia.
We're going to have to take a little bit of a break. Then we have a treat because Ken and Susie have brought a lot of stuff. We're going to show it on screen. We're going to talk about what it is. And maybe you'll see that in your house and think, I'm going to call Ken and Susie, see how much that's worth, and if I can turn that into a trip to the Bahamas because it's so cold out. All right, a couple of more commercial messages. We'll be back a lot more on today's show, Antiques in a Modern World.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
What?
Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, my goodness.
The voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Mm-hmm. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We could do better than that. Well, at least I can. I'll tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. I am Richard Christopher Scuderi, and my guests in the studio are the Nurkers, Ken and Susie Nurker. And they were generous enough, although I think they're regretting it because we were looking at the window when we were on a commercial break, and we're seeing sort of like a terrible, windy, like snowy
white
storm.
Out.
Yeah, well, I did call it about 15 minutes earlier, didn't I? The National Weather Service is sometimes right these days before Armageddon. They're sometimes right with the crazy weather. Tomorrow probably 70. So anyway, I want you to collectively, I see a lot of different collectibles and things that I would imagine are from your store.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at some of those, and why don't we do them one at a time, and then your camera is here, so if you can kind of put them up, and I'll see if you can get them on
sure.
screen.
Before Susie gets started here, I just want to say that antiques don't have to cost a lot.
Sure.
Or in this case, we have a lot of vintage items that are maybe 50 to 75 years old.
Sure.
So they don't have to cost a lot. We have things anywhere from a couple of dollars all the way up to tens of thousands.
And you know, that's
dollars.
Important. In my stores, I always have items that are, you know, $20 and under, because you want people to leave with something from your store in a bag and sort of a connection, right? Very much so.
So someone doesn't walk in and say, oh my God, I can't afford anything. So
exactly.
There's something for everybody.
That's wonderful.
So we were talking about records before.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first Rolling Stone album.
Okay.
And then This. These are all available in a store. This is the first Beatles album.
So what vintage are they? What year are these?
They're from the 60s.
This is the early 60s, yep.
Mm-hmm. How about the Rolling Stones?
Same.
60s, early, yep. early 60s.
Early 60s, yep.
Okay, yep. Terrific.
Yeah, and we also have a big collection, which I bought these all from one person. Mm-hmm. They were hers when she was a little girl. And I guess she thought she was going to have a little girl, and she saved them, but she had a son.
Okay. So, well, we'll talk about that. There's theories on that. You know what I'm going to have you do? I didn't feel that we got a good shot of the records.
Oh, sure.
So what you should do is hand them over to me, and then I'll put them up on my screen. So let's
start.
So, because this is how I know how this works. So someone's going to say, so here's some albums from the 1960s. And let me tell you, 10% of my listening audience is going to go right now down to the basement and go, oh my God, let's call them.
Got it.
Yeah.
I have that same one.
Oh my God, can I get
to the Bahamas coming up?
So this is going to come back to bite you. This is like a boomerang, okay? Yeah. So if you have these, call Ken and Susie. We'll do that again. So thank you.
Now, these
are dolls. Tell me about the history of these dolls.
This is a Ken doll, and you also have a Barbie doll.
No, I think that's a Ken and Susie doll.
Well, pretty close because that's the year I was born, 1963.
Oh, my God. Kind of looks like you guys, actually.
Oh, there you go.
And Susie was born in 64, and that's
now you told everybody how old I am.
I cannot believe that you did that.
That's
I can't
okay.
even. We don't have a delay.
Well, I just want people to know that she's vintage. She is not an antique.
Be clear. I only said I was vintage. Yeah. I didn't do that. Okay. So let's take a look at these, which I think I have a better thing. So these are these a vintage 50s or 60s?
60s. 63 for Ken, and I believe 62 for Barbie.
Barbie, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you have these, there's some collectability to them.
Absolutely.
Were these made by like Mattel or a specific? Okay.
They're Mattel, and they're original. They're not reproduction ones.
They're beautiful. I don't want to damage
them
in any way.
And just a quick funny story.
Sure.
I was walking around the store the other day, and it was kind of a slow day. The weather wasn't too cold for people to go out, I guess.
Sure.
And I was straightening out a bookshelf, and I came across this.
The
Cat in the Hat.
I have this. I have this at home.
Cat in the Hat book.
This is in my library.
However, you would think, oh, it's just a Cat in the Hat book. I opened it up.
Especially by the condition of it, that it's nothing old.
I looked at it, and I noticed that it didn't have a SKU number on it. And I said, wow, this is kind of old. Well, it turns out that it's an original 1957 first edition Cat in the Hat book, and it is going for right now $100 it sold for.
You know, I have a couple of clients that actually collect first edition books. That's a very collectible thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we did have a lady come in the other day, and she collects children's books. And I think that's why I went the next day and looked around to see if I could find anything else for her. So that you might even find at a yard sale or a tag sale. And if it kind of looks vintagey, you just never know what you're going
to
find.
Just check to find out the authenticity if it's first edition.
Right.
That's right. So basically, everybody can become a modern day treasure hunter.
Right, but then we wouldn't make any money, right?
Right.
That's okay.
Leave it to the professionals, folks. Okay, what else?
We also do...
A lot of books. Okay.
We do try to carry some local things because there are people that come in and they collect local Flemington things. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know that Stengel was
my
one
favorite.
Of the things that was...
So here's a book on Stengel pottery. I want to talk a little bit about, and if you don't, I know some of it. Maybe you guys know some of it. So let's talk a little about Stengel, because I have a particular love of Stengel because it is local, because I've always had some semblance of a business here in Flemington for as long as I can remember, and, Hunterdon County for, 25 years, that I love the Stengel story. But Stengel did not start in Flemington. It started in Trenton.
That's correct.
How old? Do you know how old Stengel dates back to?
1814.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in Trenton in that
In Trenton. And then they had, it was at the corner of Mine Street and Main Street in Flemington.
Right.
Right. And
That's
then
right. They took over the...
Well, how did it transition from Flemington now and Trenton, which was, what is the phrase that they say, the what the world takes, Trenton makes, or the other
what
way
the
around?
World, yes, what the world takes,
Trenton makes. Right. So I would imagine how it started there at the time, the Industrial Revolution, the river, the water, how they moved things. Mm-hmm. It was there. How did it transition to be a Flemington thing?
Well, Flemington had a number of potters.
Okay. Wasn't there a big kiln here or something?
There was. And, well, we have the Stengel kiln, what we know as a Stengel kiln.
Right.
And that was first with, now I'm going to be tongue-tied here.
That's okay.
Fulper, thank you.
Okay.
So it started out as Fulper.
Okay.
And then eventually it became Stengel.
Stengel, okay.
And Stengel did make things here in Flemington prior to Trenton.
Okay.
And then it went to Trenton. Mm-hmm. And then eventually in the 80s, when pottery was on its way out pretty much big time, that's when Falscraft bought the Stengel pottery plant. They put their outlet there.
Sure. Yeah.
And Stengel's outlet was there prior to Falscraft. So,
was the last year that they actually did? Do you know any? Because I know you have a dealer for that specifically.
1978. They went out of business.
So,
or they sold.
Okay. So there are no Stengel after 1978. Okay.
That was made, yes.
That was made, okay.
And the interesting thing is I have people come in, and a lot of the local people actually were painters for Stengel.
Okay.
And there's initials on the back of most of the Stengel plates and
denoting who the artist was.
Right.
It was not interesting. So I know a lot of the Stengel patterns, having worked into so many houses in New Jersey, and particularly in this part of the neck of the woods. This is not a pattern I'm familiar with. The fruit and flowers was a very popular one.
On the back, usually it's denoted which pattern it is.
Okay, but I have vintage eyes, so I can't see it.
Chicory.
Okay,
that's chicory.
It's called chicory.
Chicory. So I'm gonna see if I can pull that up and not have my fingers in the way here. So not a pattern I've seen before, but actually in really a nice color, actually.
Yes, it is.
Very popular pattern and very hard to find. Yeah.
So good things about Stengel, very beautiful, not dainty, but also chips very easily. And that was one, I think, of the downfalls of Stengel, is that it is lovely, but it really can chip kind of easy.
And they also made birds.
Okay, so let me give this back to you, because I don't want it to chip on air. So let's do this. So here's something. I'm going to put the book up first, and I hope you guys are going to be able to see this. That Stengel also made figurines, which I was completely unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
Probably less popular than their dishes.
They were extremely popular,
they
actually.
Were. Okay.
Especially back in the late 50s to, I would say, early 80s.
Okay. When I think of figurines, I think of my Nana, but I think more of like Hummels than
birds.
Yeah.
But actually, the Stengel birds are worth more than Hummels. Hummels right now are...
So was it specifically for Stengel? Was it specifically birds?
Primarily. They made hat stands as well.
But you know what's nice about this piece, and I hope we can see the minutiae of the detail here. You'll bring this to studio. We can really close up on, we have the cameras, we can close up on them. This is lovely. This, in conjunction with a collection of Stengel and like maybe those 20s, you know, the sideboards like Nan Pop had.
Right.
What a beautiful combination to have them intertwined in each other.
Agreed.
I'm wondering if that was one of the reasons. This is just lovely. You know, this would look nice in my house. Okay.
We might need to arrange that, Richard.
Okay. So what else you got there in goodies? Because we're running short of time.
We have old bottles. This is an early bottle from the Coley Company.
Okay.
In Flemington.
Okay.
And that one's not in terrific shape, but it's got a bale top, which had a porcelain insert that would come down onto a rubber gasket.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, in time for Valentine's Day, we have some old postcard Valentines that are actually 100 years old.
Wow.
They're postmarked 1910.
So don't write on them. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, and I knew I didn't even do the news, the second news, because I knew we were going to run out of time. We are out of time. So in the last moments,
thanks for having us.
In the last moments of our show, it was a pleasure. It was a party. Give us one more time the information, because I know people are going to want to reach you after this for estate sales, and also just maybe they're looking for something specifically. How can they reach you again?
Ye Old Antique and Curiosity Shop. You can call Ken or Susie 24 hours a day on our personal cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry if it's in the middle of the night. We won't pick up, but we will get back to you right away the next morning. 908-227-6641 and also 908-310-1995 or stop by 139 Main Street in Flemington.
And we're open every day from 10 to 6.
Wonderful. Thank you. This was a wonderful show. Thank you all, and have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A special House Senate committee is looking to craft a long-term budget extension to avert another partial government shutdown.
Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn tells Fox News she hopes there isn't another partial government shutdown.
Nobody wants the government shut down. What we want is for the Democrats to negotiate.
Venezuela's Supreme Court is barring opposition leader Juan Guaido from leaving the country. The court, packed with members that are loyal to President Nicolas Maduro, also ordered Guaido's assets frozen. Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger says the situation in Venezuela does affect Americans.
We used to have this idea called the Monroe Doctrine, which is interest in your hemisphere, and for too long we've ignored that. It is in our interest to ensure that there is democracy in Venezuela. We're not coming in to impose democracy on an unwilling population. The population deeply wants it.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
Here's another sleep study that may keep you up at night. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the findings.
The new study says in addition to making you tired, going without sleep pretty much guarantees your body is going to ache all over. Researchers at the University of California, Berkeley finding that sleep deprivation decreases brain activity associated with pain relief, and they found the same thing happened to people whose sleep was simply disturbed. The leader of the study says the optimistic takeaway is that getting better sleep can help manage and reduce pain. The study's published in the latest edition of the Journal of Neuroscience.
Democrats on the House Committee of Natural Resources are primed to elbow out the word God from the oaths that